Okay. So hi, ladies. Hi, listeners. Welcome to the Love Tea Time podcast. Today, I'm joined by Bea. Bea is so lovely. She is a self-care and self-love coach, which I absolutely love. We love these topics. How are you, Bea?
I am well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited for this recording to interview you today because I saw your story, which we'll dive into it a little bit later. But for those listeners that have no idea who you are, who is Bea?
Yeah. So hi, guys. I am Bea. I'm a self-love and self-care coach, and I essentially just help women become the better version of themselves through self-care and self-love. Yes. Yeah. And I found my way through this journey by just healing. I had an interesting childhood that brought me up to this point. And I truly believe that the more empowered women that we have in these spaces, like, and some of the things that you do even, the more empowered women we have in these spaces, it creates a ripple effect. And it's like we're impacting generations. So self-care and self-love has made me a better just person in general, a better mom, a better friend, a better person at the workplace, more pleasant to be around. So yeah, I think that we women have impact and we can create with ripples throughout each other. So yeah, that's one of the things that I love seeing is how I make impact, because I truly do believe that my success is going to be through other people, not through myself.
But it all started with you, right? So I'm very curious about your journey because I know self-care and self-love, you hear it all the time, right? It's on the cover of Cosmo, it's on Facebook, it's on YouTube. What is self-care and self-love through your eyes? How did you experience it?
So self-care is the act of putting my needs in front of those people that I care about. And that's why self-care is not selfish, because by making sure that my needs, my basic needs are met, I'm able to be a more present person with people that I love. And self-love is, to me, every day doing that and demonstrating that and putting myself first, putting myself first. Truly believe, like, if you choose yourself, you won't be choosing wrong.
Absolutely. And I know many of the listeners might be struggling with this. So for you, what was that moment when you decided, and perhaps there wasn't a moment, maybe it's multiple moments where you decided, you know, enough is enough. I'm going to put myself first and put my needs first so I can be a more fulfilled person.
So yeah, getting vulnerable here. It was around 2020. We had the whole pandemic happen. And at that time I had started my YouTube channel. I was about 2 years in and I was just talking about nail care. You know, I was talking about self-care, but I was talking about it on a very basic physical standpoint. So I was talking about beauty, hair, nails, makeup, all that stuff. But in 2020, in August, it was almost like just like a breaking point because it was something so small. Normally it would just brush off your shoulders, but it was like, I almost just had a panic attack and I drove myself to the hospital thinking that I'm going to be checked out. Like, I just want to take a nap. I was like, I just need to take a nap. I was dissatisfied with my job, was dissatisfied with all the relationships that I had, all the things that was going on, just completely dissatisfied. Checked myself in the hospital, thinking I'm just going to take a good nap. Didn't end up leaving until 3 days later.
Okay. Like, wow.
Yeah. It was pretty bad. Like they were like, no, we kind of want to keep an eye on you. So I had severe anxiety. So,
oh, wow. So you didn't even know that it was that bad, right?
Oh yeah. No, anxiety is like one of those things that really just creeps up on you.
Oh yeah.
And so, yeah, it's one of those things that just creeps up on you. And it took that to really understand what was going on with my body and learning how to check in. Like, in tune with my body. Didn't even know that things were not normal. And the nurse that was checking me in at the time, she's like, you know what, you should really read into a book called The Body Keeps Score.
Oh, I love that book. Yes.
Yeah, because it was right around my birthday and I would always sabotage my birthday. I don't know why. I will always sabotage my birthday. And it was going through that healing journey, I realized some of the reasons why I didn't like celebrations. I didn't like holidays. I didn't like people doing things for me. Okay. And it was really just tied to self-worth.
Yeah.
And so I had to increase my self-worth and go through those moments. And it's something that I'm still working through every day, which is why I'm okay with being vulnerable. I'm okay with showing my transformation and showing my process. Mm-hmm. And there's celebrations in that. There's times when I fall off and I may, you know, take some time to myself because my energy is very precious. So with that, I would like to see more women get in tune with ourselves, get in tune with our bodies and know what's going on so that we can and even understand why these things are happening. So many of us are dealing with anxiety and depression. We don't even know what's going on. We just think this is normal.
Absolutely. And as women, we just learn to basically keep going, right? So oftentimes it's like we're overextending, we're helping those around us, and we tend to forget ourselves. But that experience in itself, I'm reading that book specifically, how did you apply it to kind of rediscover yourself and your body and what it was telling you?
So I understood that the reasoning behind why I had trouble celebrating myself and why I had trouble celebrating holidays and just finding the joy in things, because my body was so used to being in a certain state. And sometimes these things are inherited from our parents. Some things are inherited. It's sometimes it's transferred through the womb.
I believe that.
I did not know how to relax. Did not know how to relax. And I didn't know how to just let my body be at ease and just rest. And it's like, it's almost like your body being in a survival mode. Like I'm constantly looking for the bear that is chasing me subconsciously. Yeah. I'm always looking, always on edge. And that's not a way to live. It's not a way to live. I'm living, but I wasn't like experiencing life in the way that I should be. So reading that book helped me learn and start the process of deconditioning those ways. It's a book I recommend, especially if you feel like you have any kind of form of anxiety. I think that it is a book that would help in your journey to start deconditioning and deprogramming, because the first step, I think, is acknowledging that something was wrong.
Yeah, I'll link the book as well in the description so the ladies can find it. So it's beautiful to see how your journey went from doing the superficial type of self-care, where there's nothing wrong with it, to the real deeper self-care and the inner work. And compare old B to new B. What are the main differences that you can see?
I feel as though people are able to experience me on a deeper level because I went past the superficial. So now I feel like my energy can penetrate at levels beyond, especially in person. I do better one-on-one interactions. I'm just able to penetrate a lot better if people allow me to and invite me in to do that. Old B, I wasn't even in tune with myself. So how can I penetrate other people and make the impact that I want to and ignite fires in women if I'm not in tune with myself and I don't put a fire for myself? So now I feel like this bee is much more able to do that. This bee is a lot more self-aware because I'm not perfect. There are times when I want to fall back. There's times when I want to do something. There's times when something triggers me. I don't get as upset. Now I get curious. It's like, oh, okay, we got some inner work to do. I get excited about that. You know, I get excited about that. I get excited about doing the work and the healing now. Because I feel like that is the reason why I'm on this earth, to guide more people. Because more loving women we have, like, just a more beautiful earth that this week. So
absolutely. And for generations to come, right? Especially as mothers to be, and you know, having other women in our lives, I think if you are that light, you just infect other people positively, right? In a positive sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So let's look into the other questions. I'm really loving this. So how do you think that inner work that you did, or another question actually that popped up just now, lots of women think that inner work is not sexy. And you just mentioned something interesting. It's fun for you. So how can you make inner work more fun or not feel like a task?
I think that's the difference between making it busy work and embodying it. Like now I feel like I am inner work because I'm constantly doing inner work. And for as long as I'm breathing, I know for as long as I'm alive, I know that there's going to be things that there's more for me to learn. There's more for me to do. Mm-hmm. Things that I realize, I feel like people are able to experience you differently mm-hmm. when you are embodying that inner work. Much like a butterfly, I use that emoji a lot because the butterfly, someone told me a long time ago, they're like, yeah, butterflies can't see their own wings. And I'm like, that is so sad. Yeah, I'm like, that's so sad. They go through their whole lives and they're such beautiful, majestic creatures to me, yeah. but they can't even see their own wings. So I liken that to like this, the self-love journey, like mine at least. Like people, ever since I was young, people would always project all these ideals on me. Like, oh my gosh, I could be doing this. Oh my gosh, you have a voice. You need to do this. You need to do that. I don't see it. Mm. I wasn't able to do it until I was starting to do that inner work. So I know for me, my life became a lot more pleasurable. I was able to experience a lot more joy. It took for me to get through that mud and the inner work and stuff. It's not necessarily fun to start doing it, but knowing what's on the other side of that, that made me more excited to do it. Made me a lot more excited to do it. And it's probably not sexy at first, but finding the joy in it, knowing that on the other side, there's these beautiful wings that you may not initially be able to see, but other people will be able to see that and experience that. Mm-hmm. And that to me is priceless.
Yeah, I love that analogy. Beautiful. Beautiful. So you feel like now you're spreading your wings and exploring life and on that journey that's ongoing. I love that.
Mm-hmm. It's ongoing. It's ongoing. I never will come on here saying that I'm perfect or I'm done and I know it all. I actually, the moment I say I know it all, like, please, somebody, please stop me. I'm probably lying. Check on me.
Yeah, 100% agree. I tell my students as well, you know, it's not something that, because there's a lot going on with the promises on YouTube and the products, quick fixes, quick inner work, quick self-help, but it's something that's an ongoing journey. And that's not a negative thing. It's actually really good because it means that there are different phases of you that will unfold with the work that you do. And you become who you truly are, right? Because through life, sometimes through things that happen to us, we lose our light. And all that we're doing is showing that light again from the inside out. I love it. So let's see. So here's the juicy question. So how did self-care help you find love? Because it's usually interlinked, isn't it?
I think so too. I think so too. With self-care, so a big part of self-care for me is practicing gratitude. Mm-hmm. Journaling, of course, doing the inner work in journaling, and also just finding time, even if that's little parts of the day, to do things that just bring me a lot of joy, whether that's just resting, relaxing. I like to walk in nature, especially this time of year, so gorgeous where I live. Like finding the pleasure in everything. I think that makes you just a more attractive person. And at some point in time, like, I couldn't keep people away from me.
I love men, that.
Men, children, baby, dogs. I remember there was one time I posted my story. It was like, this dog followed me back to my house. And my friend was like, oh my gosh, that means your vibration's super high. It was like a bull or something like that. And I wasn't afraid. It's just like, the dog just leave me alone. So I feel like when you are doing things and finding the joy and the pleasure, in your everyday life, it does make you a more attractive person. You become very magnetic to the things that are supposed to be there for you. Mm-hmm. On the flip side of that, it was kind of like I was repelling. It was almost like I was in a different realm with people and men. It was like I was repelling people that just were not aligned. Mm-hmm. And once I made that, it was like you couldn't keep it away from me. what I was going to find. Yeah. What I was going to find actually was going to find me. Yep. So that's, yeah, I made myself available for that.
I love that, because indeed, and when you do that inner work, or you start loving yourself from a deeper level, then you make space for someone to add to that, right? And you attract someone much different than before, so that you see a difference between the people that you would attract before versus after you did the work.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I was a part of a community that preached certain rhetoric that maybe wasn't aligned with where I am now. It's not mm-hmm. necessarily aligned with where I am now. Mm-hmm. And when I was taking on that ideology, I was presenting myself in a different way. And mm-hmm. I was one day, this is the self-aware bee. Like this is like this was still the latter part of 2020 after the hospital incident. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking healing, Alexis. I'm thinking I'm doing the healing. A girl, I got this. I think yes. I'm doing this part. I'm not taking this from no man. I'm not doing that. That's how I was approaching the scene. That's the energy I was giving. And how does that feel on the other side of that? It feels a little icky. Like, okay, like, yeah, mm-hmm. I'll give you what you want, but I'm not going to give you what you want. Mm-hmm. So I was getting a lot of people who were unavailable.
Yeah,
I was getting what I wanted, but it wasn't actually what I wanted. And it was for me to no, I actually do want love. Like that's not a high vibration to be like, I'm going to get all I can from this relationship because mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to get that in 2 years anyway. So mm-hmm. I'm just going to get what I can now. And it's nice to receive. Like, I feel like women should be in a mode where they're like in the receiving mode. I think that mm-hmm. that's a beautiful thing to give someone to receive graciously, but I wasn't in the same frequency of love. Like it wasn't like a high vibrational I wasn't emitting that. And yeah. So 2021 I made this shift. I was like I stopped engaging in certain conversations and certain things, and I was like I'm going to operate in the best way that B sees fit. I'm going to live life for B, not mm-hmm. what other people that they should want for me.
Yeah.
And so it went from that to it was a nobody I was dating was married or involved with other people. They were 100% available. And yeah, three times a charm. So three times a charm. But yeah, everybody, I noticed a difference between even the part of me that I thought I was all the way there. Mm-hmm. I had to expand a little bit to get to that other part where it was like, okay, no, I'm open for love mm-hmm. and those things.
Yeah. Cause you can have it all, yeah. right? It's our, exactly. what we want. Yeah. Get exactly. the relationship that you want, ladies. You don't have to choose, you know, being taken care of versus having someone who genuinely loves you and you love them back. There's nothing wrong with that. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you went from meeting a bunch of emotionally unavailable men to suddenly having emotionally available men show up. How did you feel in that difference? Because I think it's very important for women to learn from your experience what the difference is in dating when these quality guys start showing up.
Aligned. I felt aligned. Mm-hmm. I felt like, okay, I think I'm on the right track here. Mm-hmm. I'm doing something right. Because before I really did notice, because I was like, man, everybody I'm meeting, like I'm getting taken care of. Mm-hmm. But they're not available. They're not actually available. I don't have their heart. And we saw with the pandemic, like people were lonely. People were mm-hmm. hurting.
Yeah.
Hurting. And I had to recognize areas in my life where I was like, I'm hurting too. I'm mm-hmm. hurting too. Yeah. So I was busy hiding, but I wasn't healing. Mm. I was hiding. I was not healing. it took me to really recognize that. That was the first step. I had to get self-aware and take self-inventory and recognize the areas where I was like, okay, this is not feeling good to me. I don't care how everybody else is approaching it. This is not what I want. I mm-hmm. want both. I want both, and I'm going to get both. Mm-hmm. Let me make myself available for that. And once the decision was made, it was like, okay, came a bit a bit easier.
These types of guys, how was the dating for you? Do you feel like they were more intentional?
Very much a more intentional, moving fast. Mm-hmm. And not in a way that you feel like you're breadcrumbing and all this stuff. Like, no, moving intentionally fast, mm-hmm. not playing. Yeah. I was engaged in less than 9 months.
I love that. Wow. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah.
Very decisive energy, mm-hmm. because I was decisive, mm-hmm. on what I wanted. Yeah. And maybe it was something about it that was like, I was maybe repelling people who wasn't, but I wasn't even on dating apps, Alexis. Mm-hmm.
I love that. So do share. So how did you meet your man?
Through Clubhouse.
Okay. Yeah, through Clubhouse.
Which I guess you could say it was a dating app, but it wasn't a dating app.
Well, it's just social media. It's just another way.
I was just online sharing, you know, my thoughts in a room, and he approached me.
Okay.
And then from there, it was a date set up the very next week, and mm-hmm. he came down to visit, and that's how that went. I feel as though there are quality men. I think you just have to make the decision, mm-hmm. and make yourself available for that. And also, mm-hmm. there are parts that I know we hate this, but we really do have to check our energy sometimes, because it's like, if I'm on a date, I already have expectations for, he better do this. He better do this. This is all here. He gets this all day. Mm-hmm. Like, are you connecting from heart to heart? Are you connecting with him through his heart? You know, honestly, I had stopped coming up with like all of these expectations. I had standards, but mm-hmm. I didn't have expectations. Like, my standard is X, Y, Z, but I don't need it from you. I'm giving it to myself. So this is just a standard for myself. Uh-huh. And I'm going to align myself with somebody who says, I like those standards. Okay. I'm going to meet that. I'm going to get some of that. Mm-hmm. And that makes it a lot more easier, because I'm telling you guys, like, it's a different energy. They can sense it. They can feel it. It's nonverbal communication. Yeah. They can feel the energy. The communication is different, because I don't have these, well, we need to be dating at the end of this date, or you need to ask me on another date. I'm like, no, I'm cool. Like, I'm happy. Like, I may be here the next week, because I may be out on a solo date. Who knows?
Yeah, you know? Exactly. So it's just being in that vibration of openness. Like, I love that you said connecting on a heart level, because mm-hmm. I think once you start to experience more emotionally available men, the connection is just different, right? So how would you describe that level of connection, a deeper, less superficial? Because of course, you can be attracted to a man, right? But there's something deeper that can happen.
Yeah. I feel like the deeper connection comes from you being in tune with yourself and being in tune with your body. Mm-hmm. You also need to, because not everybody is going to be for you, but you need to be really in tune and know, like, your gut is the first brain. They say that your gut is the first brain. Mm-hmm. So, like, are you feeling anxious? Like, is your tummy twisting a little bit when you're around him, or when you're waiting for him to text back and all this stuff? Like, you need to take inventory of things like that. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was recognizing where, if my instincts was telling me, he's not the one, don't go out on a date with him, I would listen to that. I wouldn't question it. I just go with it. Mm-hmm. I go with it. Mm-hmm. Because also I know, like, I was operating in a sense of, what I am looking for is also looking and praying for me. Praying for me. He's mm-hmm. praying for me.
And did you get that feeling from your fiance when you met him? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
For the ladies to understand, how can you describe how he makes you feel? I love that question. How does your fiance make you feel?
Adored, loved, appreciated, seen, recognized. Mm-hmm. Do you want to keep going? Happy. Adventurous, spontaneous, all of the things that, like, the ways in which I see myself, mm-hmm. He sees in me too.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All the things that I kind of see myself, like, yeah, I am randomly fun and spontaneous, and we have a lot of fun together. Mm-hmm. Like to travel, it's all kind of things. And I've been gifted experiences and things that, like, I don't remember writing down. Like, I made a love list, but mm-hmm. I don't even remember writing all of those things down. Mm-hmm. But he encompassed that and so much more. So
yeah, because in the end, I know that ladies at home, we might have a list of 100 character traits, but in the end, it's all about how a man makes you feel, right? And when that click is there, you can trust someone, you love them, they treat you like a princess, you're their number one priority. It's just mm-hmm. such a beautiful experience.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
I love your story. But let's talk a little bit about dating. So when you were dating, I know this is a question that lots of women ask me all the time in the DMs. Were you specifically dating for marriage? Did you talk yeah. about this? Okay, so how did you navigate that? Because I always like talking to people through real experiences, because there are lots of people talking online, but here you are, someone that got engaged in 9 months, you said, right? Mm-hmm. 9 months. So you were dating with a purpose. So how did you navigate that dating for marriage?
Well, actually, so the confession was, I was actually in a relationship with someone before I actually went on a date with my fiance. So okay. I was technically still in a relationship, but I felt like the energy wasn't fully aligned. It wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And so I remember that night before I left out, I've heard before, they said, if you're having a lot of opposition before you get ready to do something, that probably means you need to be there. And okay. when I say, like, I didn't like my hair that night, I had to cake on my makeup. It was a lot of things going on. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't even feel like I look nice on this date. But I was like, we'll just go and see where it goes. Mm-hmm. I still was technically in a relationship, but I felt like it wasn't giving the same energy. And so I said, well, we'll take a chance. And mm-hmm. I just told my fiance after on, he was like, well, I'm glad you decided to come out.
So he knew. So it's good. It's all open communication and everything. And you showed up. And how was that experience? Did you tell him right away? Did he ask? Was it on your profile, what you were looking for?
No, actually it wasn't, because I wasn't, I was on there just sharing my views and stuff like that from a self-love perspective. It was a room about dating. Mm-hmm. But he had asked if I was single, and I said, well, we're all single until we're married, right?
Okay.
And then from there he said, well, I would be interested in, because I was talking about the idea of multi-dating, even though that wasn't something I was necessarily engaging in, because I wasn't on dating apps or anything like that. But I was saying, yeah, I think women should explore multi-dating. That's what the mm-hmm. conversation was about. And he said, mm-hmm. well, you know, since you're interested in multi-dating, he said, I'm interested in wrecking your rotation.
Okay.
But to answer your question, or to finish off my answer rather, I feel like when you're met with a lot of opposition before you get ready to do something, it typically means that, like, that's almost like the universe testing you, like, are you going to go forward with this? Are you still yeah. going to do this? Like, and I ended up going out. I didn't feel like I was at 10, but he thought I looked beautiful, you know?
Okay. Like, that's what yeah. you know.
Yeah, exactly. So it didn't even matter. Didn't mm-hmm. even matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I always tell ladies at home, this is the best advice that I can give is, don't overdo it when you're going on a date. Just be yourself. Of course, we want to look nice. I'm not talking about being all shabby, but just be yourself and feel comfortable, and he will like you in that state. He will love you even more when you dress up, when you go out. So he'll see different sides of you, but the most important thing is that he sees you for who you are.
Exactly.
Right? And yeah. that's why he did.
Women are the prettiest. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Happy women are beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And also when men see that you're happy and they're making you happy, it's been proven through research over and over again, they're going to want to add to your happiness. That's just how it is, right? How are you experiencing that?
I think he found out very early on. Like, I typically don't like to share, like, oh, what I do, you know, as far as the self-love and self-care thing. Mm-hmm. But obviously you figured out very early on, because I was using an account that was attached to those things.
Yeah.
And ultimately I didn't mind, because it was like, oh, well, it's if he's the one, then it doesn't matter. And if mm-hmm. he's not the one, then it doesn't matter. So mm-hmm. I stopped caring about that after a while. But he saw that, and then he made a self-care fund for me to just be able to invest in myself. And since then he's invested in, you know, my business, but I've gotten stuff and mm-hmm. advice, laptops, cameras,
mm-hmm.
yeah, new phones, yeah. like all kind of things, because he sees that these things are a priority to me and more women need this message. So mm-hmm.
that is yeah. so beautiful. And it's nice we brought that. Oftentimes we know that, you know, in certain online groups, they say, you know, you have to make sure that you get everything, that someone is doting on you, kissing your feet, doing everything before you can give them that commitment. But here you are explaining that once someone connects to your heart and they truly want to see you happy, they will invest in anything that makes you happier, more successful, more accomplished, whatever that is. So I absolutely yeah. love that. Beautiful.
And I think the most beautiful thing is, Alexis, I didn't have to ask for a thing.
Yep. That's it yeah. right there. Ladies at home, listen. Listen to yeah. me. That's just didn't how it is. Ask for it. Mm-hmm. When you're didn't aligned on that level, it's just that he just wants to, he will surprise you with things that it's just like he has sixth sense, right? He just knows. mm-hmm. Loving that. And another question I have here, because I know you mentioned you have a son as well. I know that many of the listeners at home are mothers with children that are contemplating putting themselves out there, dating again. Do you have any advice for them?
Okay. Well, one, of course, protect your babies. Protect mm-hmm. your babies. Still invest in yourself, time, money, wherever you see fit, and know that that investment in yourself, in self-care, is going to make you a better mom. Trust mm-hmm. me, it's going to make you a better mom. Because I know I'm a little bit more snappier if I haven't gotten my rest for the day. I'm not mm-hmm. as patient with my son and stuff. Yeah, protect your children, invest in yourself, of course. And also know that you being a mom doesn't disqualify you mm-hmm. in some ways. Almost qualifies you
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. he's able to see how great I am of a mom I am to my son. He's able to see my mothering skills. He's able mm-hmm. to see how I care for my son. And mm-hmm. That is one of the things that he finds attractive about me, is that he says all the time, like, he's like, you're such a good mom to your son. Mm-hmm. And I love that about you. So yeah, I think that those things can make you more attractive to the right person. So mm-hmm. don't get discouraged. Do not get discouraged. The men are out here. They're still looking. Mm-hmm. They're still looking at the mamas.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'm so glad that you shared that, because it's very easy to look at it from a negative perspective, but from a positive sense, there are many people out there that are crazy about who you are, including anything that's going on with your life and what you're bringing into that relationship. Right. So dating doesn't have to be hard, and as long as you start seeing things from the positive side and believing in your worth, that's what self-love is all about. Loving that. So B, do you have any closing advices or tips or maybe inspirational saying to the ladies at home that are thinking, oh my God, B, give us just a little bit more so that we can feel inspired to do the same things that you did?
I would just emphasize that a happy woman is beautiful. I've never seen an ugly woman, honestly. I've seen a woman that's dehydrated, I've seen a woman that's not well rested, I've seen a woman that's frustrated with her life. I've seen a woman that's, you know, not prioritizing herself. So the way that you express yourself worth, the way that you express how you love yourself, is mm-hmm. the way that other people are going to, they're going to reflect that mm-hmm. on you as well. So knowing that you can't go to the self-worth store, and, mm-hmm. and by
unfortunately not.
You can't. It is something that is continuously happening. So starting with that inner work and starting that journey is not, it's not easy. Mm-hmm. It's not fun, but just remember the other side of that can be a beautiful thing.
Beautiful.
I hope that every woman gets to find her wings.
What's that?
I hope every woman gets to find her wings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope so too. And that's why I'm so happy that there are women like you spreading that message. And I truly think that any woman listening to this has been inspired to start that inner work journey, right? Even if it's, you know, as you said, not easy, and it can be a little bit unsexy in the beginning, but you reap the benefits and life will become easier, right? The moment you start doing it. All right. So I really enjoyed this interview, Bea. Where can women find you? I know I will link the put several links in the description, but what is your preferred method for them to reach out to you? Is it Instagram? Is it Facebook?
The Facebook page, just mm-hmm. Ask Bea, that has all of my links. I also have the YouTube and the podcast, Just Ask Bea. Just ask Bea.
I'll be sure to include it in the description box below. So ladies, go to that group. I think you also have a group called Self-Care.
Yeah,
Self-Care is not selfish. That's a very high vibing positive group, ladies. So please join. I'll include that link as well. Or let's just include like a multi-link, like that has all everything in there so you ladies can access it.
Like a landing page and has all the links to everything everywhere that you can connect with me.
Well, we'll include that in there, ladies. And as you can see, Bea did the work. She's radiating. She's happy. She's engaged. She has everything that a woman would want. And when I say everything that a woman would want, I know lots of women would say, well, I want something different. But what every woman wants is to be loved, cherished, adored. That's it. And you got that. And you can see the smile on her face and how she's glowing. You just change, right? Life becomes easier. All right, ladies, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much, Bea. Such an inspiring story. Thank you for being vulnerable. I love that. And inspiring the ladies at home. I will be uploading this also on YouTube for those that are visual creatures, as I say, and on the podcast for those who like to listen. Thank you for listening. And I will see you on the next recording. Bye, ladies.